gospel reading for this morning is taken from John 11, 30 through 37. It is on page 1669. I always have trouble finding the page number. I don't know why. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. God who grieves with us, we ask that you would be with us today as we discuss grief, that you would be in my message, and that you would help us to understand how Christ is with us, even in the darkest of times and the highest of joys. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So last week I spoke about how we as Christians understand life after death. The promises God has made to us through Christ. And it's hard, you know, to speak with too much certainty about the next life. Paul even struggled to do that. But we trust in the promise that Paul makes in Romans that nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither death nor life, nor angels or demons. We belong to God first and forever. God, today I want to talk about life, not about life after death, but what life is like after death for those who are left behind to pick up the pieces. Particularly today, I want to talk about grief. Now, grief is this really funny thing. It's something that we all experience at one time or another in our lives, but how it is expressed is wildly different depending on who we are. Some people retreat away from the world, while others dive deep into their work. Some cry, others get angry. Some drink, others don't want to get out of bed. Author Anne Lamott compares grief to a lazy Susan that you spin every day. Every day that you're in grief and in pain, it's like spinning a lazy Susan. And one day, she says, it is heavy and underwater. The next day, it spins and stops at loud and rageful. The next day, at wounded keening, that screaming out that you do at funerals. And the next day, numbness in silence. You never know how grief is going to manifest itself in your life. You think you're doing fine one day, then something triggers a memory and you feel like you just got hit by a truck. Each of you who has experienced a significant loss knows this, and you know it well. The thing about grief, though, as universal as it is, we strangely don't talk much about how to handle it or to be present for those in the midst of it. I cannot remember a class that I ever took in elementary, middle, or high school that prepared me for how to deal with someone dying. Any of y'all ever take a class on that? Ever have a teacher say, "This is how you deal with this stuff. Let me talk about it." I remember I was in high school, sophomore year, And I had a girl in my class, 16 years old. She died of an infection, meningitis, just killed her. In 2 weeks, she was gone. And I remember, after that happened, we had one person come to our class and say, if you're having problems, you can come talk to this person over here. And that was it. That was all they did. We knew this girl. She was with us all the time. We were friends with her. We hung out with her. And now she's gone. And all they can muster up is, we got a counselor over here that's willing to talk to you. See ya. Now, I would think that was weird, except that that's how we kind of handle grief, isn't it? We don't like to talk about it. It makes us very uncomfortable. People who are in the midst of grief scare us. They scare us because we know too well how uncontrollable grief is, how overwhelming it feels, how powerless we feel to do anything about it. Any person who suffered a great loss will know that oftentimes, after all the stuff with the funeral and all that stuff's gone, people have a hard time being around you because they don't know what to say. They're nervous. So instead of diving into the trenches with those who are grieving, we offer niceties, apologies, but actually avoid being present for that person who is suffering. We just don't know how to do that or what to do. And we need to get better, myself included. Isolation does no one any favors, and we know that no one deserves to suffer alone. So Jesus, in the Gospel of John, offers us a starting point, a place to figure out how we can be present for those in the midst of grief. After his friend Lazarus dies, Jesus returns to Bethany to see Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, in their grief. And the first thing they say to him is, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus' first thing to do when he is there is listen to these two. He understood that being present for someone who is suffering means showing up and listening. That's it. You don't have to solve it. You don't even have to say much. Just be there. Show up and listen and be okay with silence. And don't make it about you and your grief experience. Let them drive the conversation. That's important. There was someone that said 90% of ministry is just showing up. And I think that's true. Showing up, listening, allowing them to share. Don't make it about you. And keep showing up. Don't assume that person is over it a couple weeks after the funeral. It's later when all the planning and calling is done that they will need you the most. Going back to the Gospel of John, when Mary cries out with her grief and sadness, Jesus cries along with her. Writer Washington Irving once said, "There is a sacredness in tears. They are not the mark of weakness, but of power. They speak more eloquently than 10,000 tongues. They are the messengers of overwhelming grief, of deep contrition, and of unspeakable love." When you walk alongside someone who is suffering, as Jesus does, you too experience the pain of that loss. But you also help to carry some of the burden that person is experiencing by you being there. You help make life more tolerable. You help make hope more plausible for that person. And be willing to affirm what that grieving person is feeling. Don't offer platitudes to try to smooth over the pain, like everything happens for a reason or he's in a better place right now. Be okay with saying, yeah, this is terrible. Yeah, this sucks. Be okay with saying that. Because it does. It is terrible. And there's nothing you're going to say in that moment that's going to lift them out of that grief. They just have to experience it. That's part of what it is. So be present with them in that. Sit in the grief with them just as Jesus did for Mary. We see throughout the Gospels that Jesus was never satisfied with just thoughts and prayers. He followed Mary and the others to the tomb where Lazarus was buried, going to the place of pain and hurt. And Jesus didn't wait to act when he arrived there. Often we tell someone who is grieving to call us if they need anything. That puts the onus on the hurting person to call you. So instead of waiting for a call, be an active presence in the person's life. Do a little bit what the kids told you to do down here. Send cards. Cook and drop off a meal. Buy a book for them to read. Offer to help them write thank you notes or run errands or pick up something at the grocery store. Be active rather than waiting for them to contact you. But also respect the grieving person's boundaries. Never push them to do something they're not ready to do or talk about something they're not ready to talk about, creating guilty feelings that a person is somehow grieving wrong does not help the person heal. Now, if you're anything like me, you always mean well, but sometimes you open your mouth and say something really stupid. Right? That happens. And I think that's what scares all of us, right? That's why we don't even want to engage, because we think, oh man, am I going to make this worse for this person? All right? That may be possible that you do say really not smart things to people, and you may use some of those platitudes I mentioned before, but do not allow your fear of saying the wrong thing or your feelings of being uncomfortable around a person who is grieving to prevent you from being present for that person. Yeah, you may say something stupid, but that's okay. You can apologize. And they still will be happy that you were there for them, that you showed up, that you cared. No one's going to be upset about getting too much support and love when they're hurting. It's a lot better than the alternative. So follow Christ's example. Find ways to walk alongside those who are grieving, whose burden is heavy. Because that's what Christ did for us, was to bear some of that burden that we carry upon our shoulders. And Jesus said, no, I am going to carry that for you. How can we do that for people who are suffering from grief, who are suffering from loss, to be present with them and help carry some of that burden? Now, I've been talking a lot about death, but it's also for other people who are grieving losses, changes in family, poverty, those things that make life exceptionally difficult. How may you be a presence and help carry some of that burden for your neighbor and all those that you love? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.